This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
All the caregivers around the world today, it's time to lift you up. It's time to celebrate. Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers with love, laughter, and lessons learned. On the show where you can find help and hope. And with us on the board today, we have Ed. How you doing, Ed?
Happy Friday to everybody.
Happy Friday. Good weather, a little rain tomorrow, but good today.
It's like a lot of rain and Sunday.
Monsoon.
Well, that's all right. I got to do my income taxes, so.
Oh, so that's really depressing.
Yeah,
it's going to rain and you'll
just
do
be
that.
Like old, get all the sadness out, like in 2 days.
I don't know. I usually like to clean when it's sunny. A lot of people clean when it's rainy because they don't. But I like this. It's too big a job when it's
sunny.
Well,
the sun gives you more energy.
Yes.
The rain doesn't give you no energy. So with me is my best friend, my co-host, and my sidekick, not psychic, Glenn Thornley.
Good afternoon.
How are you today?
Doing well, thank you. Good
so
to be here.
Glad you're here today. First, I want to give a shout out to our newest listeners. We have Sheila in Tampa, Jenny B. in Largo, and Francine in St. Pete.
Welcome, ladies.
And like I always say, there's plenty of room around the Connecting Caregivers table for more listeners, whether you listen to us live or on YouTube or Facebook or the recordings. We're just here to help you out all we can. And with us today, I have my friend Kelly Wall.
Hey.
Who's been a caregiver, and we're going to chat in a few minutes. But one of the things I wanted to say this morning, I got an email this morning from an email and then a phone call from one of my caregivers whose mom passed away 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago. And she said, I just have to say thank you, Linda. Thank you for the support group. She said, my best friend wanted to help me, and she didn't know how to help me because she didn't understand what I was going through. And she came across you, and she hooked me up with you, and I came to your support groups and your journaling workshops. She said, I met friends there, which was, like, really nice, and I'm kind of maybe miss them and maybe come back and do a little visit. She said, but the biggest thing was my best friend who was there for me even when she didn't understand what I was going through. And my best friend is sitting right next to me. And we've been on a journey in our lives, and she sits next to me when I'm going through tough times, when I'm going through good times. And that's such an important thing. So, thank you.
You too.
And I want everybody to go out there and reach out to your best friend or your sister, whoever your person is, and just appreciate that relationship. Because life is about people. Not all the other stuff. It's all about people. I used to say to my grandchildren when they were younger, I said, you know, if the world came to an end, would you like just all video games, or would you like some people? Because if that was your choices, and thank God they always said people. You know, then I'd be like a little scared.
Give me a good book.
Yeah, a good book's always good. So Kelly and I have, well, we met probably 22 years ago.
It's been a while.
An organization I used to kind of be the spearhead for called Professional Women Empowering, and it was to motivate and inspire women to be the best they could be personally and professionally while helping the community. And it was very cool. And we met a lot of women and a lot of fantastic things. And every time I meet somebody 10 years later or 20 years later and they go, I have something new going on, Linda, or I'm doing something now I think can relate to what you're doing, I'm like, bring it on. And that's exactly what happened.
Yep, exactly.
A little LinkedIn. I'm like, I like LinkedIn, but it's like, oh my goodness, it's one more place I got to check. I got to check Messenger. I got to check Facebook. I got to check, you know. So I'm so glad that you're here with us today.
I'm so glad to be here as well.
So you've been a caregiver. We talked about a little bit about before the show, but tell us a little bit about yourself first and what led you to this journey.
Myself currently, currently, I've been in Clearwater probably 40 years, and I have been in the sales and recruiting industry. I have my own business now, and have three kids and two grandbabies. So that part of the journey has been amazing.
Yeah.
Hard to believe.
But what about your journey that led to that?
The journey that led to that is a little different in that it involved family, as far as family that I grew up with, and something that it's near and dear to me is Alzheimer's and dementia now. My dad used to come to our house for Christmas, and he was a flea market guy. And he would bring a brown sack every Christmas, and he'd be so proud.
Like Santa's sack.
Santa's sack. And he would be so proud of
his
finds that he had found for our little kid, and our kids were new, or they weren't packaged,
it wasn't
or whatever.
Atari.
But they loved it just the same, and they loved the fact that he would come every Christmas and he would be there. And when one Christmas, we got to open the presents, we got to the lunch, and Dad wasn't anywhere. And I thought, oh my gosh, I better call and check on him. And right then my phone rang, and it was my dad. And back then, pre-cell phones.
Yeah.
And the good thing is we had caller ID, so I could see where he was calling from. He was at Alderman Road at Alternate 19, and he said, I'm trying to get there, but I just can't.
I don't know where I am.
I don't know where I am. And that was the day that changed my life forever.
Yeah.
And that was the beginning of the journey that you speak of.
Well, you know what? How fabulous, though, that he called you.
Yeah, that he called.
You know, how that he had my number in his wallet. Yes.
You know, how many things happen where they can't even, like, think that there is a number in my wallet to call or whatever. You know, I told a story a few weeks ago that one of my caregivers lives in a very rural area.
Mm-hmm.
And her husband has, as she says, mild cognitive impairment, but I think it's a little more than that. And so he went to the store, and he locked his cell phone, his keys, and his wallet in the car. And now he's frustrated, and he's like kicking the car, and there was a young boy there on a bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, can I help you? And he told him what happened, and the boy said, well, here's my cell phone. Call your wife. She can come. And he said, we only have one car. And so the boy said, well, here's my cell phone. Call your wife. Give me your address. I'm going to go get your keys. And he said, you know, I live like 5 miles away from here. And the boy said, I don't care. I need the exercise.
Aww.
And he went and got the keys and brought them back. And then he said, what the boy said was, I hope somebody would help my grandpa.
That's what you have to say to yourself.
Yep.
Exactly.
I hope somebody would help my grandpa.
Yeah,
but then he knew to help him. I mean, you might just look at somebody and go,
what's with him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So big deal.
Go
in the store.
Enough.
Probably didn't know his wife's phone number anyway.
Well, I don't know. It worked out.
Yeah. Well, because the kid took over.
Yeah. And kindly and guided him. And, you know, somebody could have taken advantage of him.
That's
you don't
the
know.
Scary part.
You don't know. So thank you. And thank you for all the people out there that do the right thing.
Yes.
Because I see that happen every single day, too. We everything's on the news about the crappy stuff. Well, I don't like give too much credit to the crappy stuff. I don't even want to talk about it. I want to talk about the good stuff. All right, so let's go further on your journey. So you're caring for.
My dad lived in Holiday by himself. And so after we got him home, I decided I should make a little visit up there and see how things were going. And I found out he had lost his job, and he wasn't taking care of his place, which is one of the signs, you know, that you look for.
Right.
You know, they stopped
taking
showers.
The person that always
that. The person that was immaculate, that never, nothing was ever out of place. And then you see dust and
not a lot of good food in the refrigerator.
No.
And maybe the garbage's not taken out.
Yes, exactly. And so I started doing some research, and I don't even know if Google's around, but I know it was a lot more difficult to find information then, for sure. And I think that's the important thing is planning for the future and knowing what to do to help your family so that if something happens that you're prepared, which I was not. I never even really thought about it.
Right.
And looking back on my journey now, I wish I had thought about it more and been more prepared. But and one of the important things was my dad was an alcoholic, and he still drove a car, and we had his neighbor watching after him. We went on vacation, and I got a phone call one night from a bartender in Holiday, and he said, I have your dad here, and he's trying to pay for his bar bill with his driver's license. And I said, shame on you for serving my dad knowing, because they all knew.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So I called the neighbor and, you know, got him home. But, you know, it's important to know. One of the signs is learning when you've got to make that decision. If you get them diagnosed with that, when do you take the keys? And that is one of the hardest things I've ever had to do in my life.
Well, I think one of the, especially taking the keys away from our parents, that generation, especially the not so bad with the women, because a lot of them didn't drive. The men, it was a big deal. It's a big deal to me. I don't want somebody taking my keys one day, but
you give them mine.
Right? I'm also thinking, as I'm older, I will give it away, because I don't like driving as much at night now as I did before.
Right. Wait, but by the time we're old, we will have a driverless car, and you and I will sit in the back
and just be chauffeured.
But really, that's a rude awakening when you get that call.
It was. Being on vacation north and being so far away and, you know, having to end your vacation and get home and take care of it. And one of the things I think people have a hard time with, and I'm sure this still goes on, you know more than anybody, Linda, but when you take them to the hospital because they've locked their keys and they hurt their hand trying to break into their place, trying to get them diagnosed with Alzheimer's was not very easy. And they said, well, they have to stay in here 3 days before we can get them to a place.
Them.
Yep.
So now you have a person that already has some issues. So let's lock them up for 3 days and not anybody come see them. And how do you think they're going to respond?
Now, the good thing is I was his health surrogate. I did think for that. I had my attorney come.
Yeah, thank God.
And so thank gosh.
That's so
because
important.
Because that, otherwise I would have been helpless.
Yeah,
it would have been my fault. I would have felt like, you know, it's on me.
So. Yeah, and this is once again why you need to get your documents in order. And
definitely.
It's not as expensive as you think, and just
do it.
Because even if it costs you a few $100s, what is it going to cost you if you don't do it?
Exactly.
You'll have no choice. You won't be able to stand up for your dad. You won't be able to make sure that he has the right medical care. But unfortunately, we don't think about this until the time happens, and that's why we have this show and stuff, knowing that we need to talk about this when we're 45 years old.
Absolutely.
We need to make those preparations. So, what do you think is the most important thing about being a caregiver?
Taking care of yourself first.
There you go.
Good for you.
That was a hard one to learn.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like what my mom always said, you're in an airplane.
Yeah.
Oxygen drops.
Yeah.
You put it on your face first before you help the child, because you can't help them if you're not any good.
Yeah.
And it stuck in my mind. And so, yes, that's...
Thank goodness your mother was a smart woman.
She was so, so smart. Yes.
Because a lot of caregivers don't know that. You know,
I didn't know that.
I see with caregivers, I mean, a large percentage of caregivers die before the person they're taking care of.
Yes.
And why? Because I take my loved one to the doctor. I don't go to the doctor. I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
I make sure my loved one's eating. Nah, I'm just having some cheese and crackers in the kitchen, you know, or whatever.
And a glass of wine.
Yeah, and before you know it. It's so, yeah, that is so important about taking care of themselves first. So tell me about the book that's coming out. That's exciting.
Yes. It's going to be out. It should have been already out, but my brother has decided to help to put some input into it, because I think that's important. You know,
sure.
I didn't want it to just be all for me, because he not only helped with my mom, even though he was in Atlanta, but he helped with my brother, which is a whole nother journey, and my mom as well. So it's called Keeping Up Appearances. There used to be an English show, hysterical show, about this English family. If you've never seen it, you should go find it on cable or YouTube or somewhere,
whatever,
YouTube.
Yeah.
And it's this English family, and it's all about, you know, they want everybody to think that they're a certain way or whatever. And
like
it's
keeping
exactly,
up with the Joneses.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's exactly what Alzheimer's and dementia patients do. They don't want anybody to know, and they go to all lengths to pretend that it's not true and to hide it from their family, the most important people in the world.
Well, I think that's so sad is because there is no cure right now mm-hmm. or anything. So
right.
if your loved one has cancer, you'll tell people in the family that they have cancer because they understand that. If you tell them they have Alzheimer's and dementia, unless they've been in it, they don't have a clue what. So
no idea.
We need to educate ourselves, and we need to educate the people that are around us. You know, I do caregiver conferences twice a year. My next one is May 7th, 8th, and 9th, and it's 21 speakers over 3 days, totally virtual, totally free to caregivers. But the education they can find there, and then say to their sister, their brother, their cousin, whoever, mm-hmm. you need to watch this section because I learned some stuff and maybe you can too.
Yep. I mean, that's the only way to change the world.
Yeah, knowledge is still power.
It is.
Knowledge is
so
still
much.
Power. So tell me a little bit more about the book, though.
Basically, each chapter, like when there's one chapter that tells you about, you know, what are the signs that you look for? When do you know that you should get involved? There's a chapter on, yeah, getting the papers in order to make sure that you know, have the right
recovered.
To be able to help.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's basically the journey explained with my mom, with my dad, and with my
with
brother.
Your experiences
mm-hmm.
and what you learned.
And what I learned to help other people that have no idea what kind of a ride they're in for.
No, especially with Alzheimer's and dementia,
mm-hmm.
because if you do not have a personal experience with it, it's really hard for you to relate with someone that's having that experience because you don't know anything about it. You know, Lynn had an experience with her husband, and I didn't know 10% of what I know now.
Oh, well, you weren't in it at the time.
No, you didn't know. You didn't know, and all of a sudden, so we need to talk about this. The doctors don't talk about it enough.
No.
People
like
in the office don't talk about it enough.
It's like a secret, and it shouldn't be.
And the doctors don't want to tell you that he has it. They say, oh, no, he's fine. Because they're very good actors in that, you know,
oh,
for
yes.
a short amount of time. And
yeah.
he'd go in and he'd say, they think I'm nuts. And he'd laugh. And
but I think also a lot of the doctors don't have the education
no, they
themselves.
Don't. I
no,
think they're getting more. Because that's,
yeah, they
what,
have
12
to.
Something years ago.
Yeah, right? We got a huge population here.
Yeah.
They basically have a sheet of paper with questions on it that they ask
yeah.
the person.
Yeah,
yeah, and my husband used to turn
that
it around
it.
On them and ask them who was the Secretary of State.
that's their analysis of you
yeah.
know, their
yeah.
great, all their medical school has
yeah.
gotten them.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's it's real important to get the best education you can, which is why we have this show.
Right.
And it's why I do everything I do, because when you know better, you do better.
I'm so glad I found you. It was just like such a fluke. And
yeah, you never
yeah.
know, right? You never know. But, you know, the thing is, like I said, when you know better, you do better.
Mm-hmm.
And then your journey can be better. Because I always say that your caregiving journey can be the most horrific experience of your life or close to beautiful, depending on how you handle it.
Right. And the more prepared, that's the key
well,
word.
Well, just knowing, you know, mm-hmm. I do a Tuesday tip every week for caregivers mm-hmm. for like 5 years now, and because it's short and sweet. A caregiver can hit that short and sweet. And I remember one time a woman came into a support group, and a live support group, and she was like kind of gritting her teeth, and she said, my doctor said I need a support group. And we were like, welcome, and I'm nice to her, and everybody there is nice to her. And she goes, so what do you do here? I go, well, we share resources and references and a shoulder and a laugh and maybe some tips. And she goes, give me a tip. I said, excuse me? She goes, give me a tip. I said, well, I don't know if this is appropriate for you, but my tip is if your husband has to go to the doctor's on Thursday, don't tell him on Monday. Because he's going to ask you all day Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. He's going to be apprehensive, agitated. You're going to be exhausted. And she hit her hand on the table and she said, I think I'm going to like this group. But if you don't know that,
right.
if you don't realize that, you can have a miserable week for yourself.
Yes.
You know, if your loved one says, where's my spouse? And you say, Mom, Dad died 5 years ago, and she starts crying, that's not the response. The response is, Dad's at the store. Dad's, because she'll not remember a minute later. But when you tell her, Dad died 5 years ago, to her, it's the first day she heard it. Like, well, you didn't tell me my husband died?
Right, exactly.
So we need that education.
Yes.
You know, and people say, oh, you want me to lie with my, to my mother? No, I want you to be compassionate.
But I think the hardest thing is, like you say, if you have cancer, well, these are the cures for cancer. Mm-hmm. But with Alzheimer's, everybody is different.
Yeah.
What works for one person doesn't
right.
work for the other.
Right.
So it's like a game, a shuffleboard
yeah.
game, trying to figure out.
Exactly.
And it works today, it doesn't work tomorrow. But like her father and stepmom used to reminisce, have a small Jack Daniels because he was bedridden, and reminisce. So mm-hmm. I brought it up to my husband, and he threw something across the room and said, just what yeah. I want to do, hear about the good times.
Right. Everybody's
so that
different.
Didn't work for him.
Well, look at Maureen and Brian.
Yeah.
So they're good friends of mine, and Brian has Alzheimer's. They knew he was going to be going to community. So they did all this prep work. They made the playlist of his songs. They set up all these containers with, like, his artwork.
Mm-hmm.
And then he didn't want to do any of it. And she was so disappointed. She said, I thought we had this planned.
Well, and a lot of it, you know, their temperament changes a lot. So,
yeah.
you know, going to see my mom, you know, thinking she's going to be happy to see me, and she's, you know, saying, where the heck have you been?
Right.
you know, turning into a different person.
Yeah.
So that was really, really tough.
That's what they're talking about now, agitation and Alzheimer's. You see it on the TV all the time.
Yeah.
But I still think a lot of it has to do with how you handle it.
Mm-hmm.
How you talk to mom, how you...
Well, once they're agitated, you have to know how to...
Right. But I think you need to learn things to do so they don't get agitated or they get less agitated. But anyway, that's my soapbox.
It's a good one.
So, Kelly, where can our listeners find you and your book coming out?
It's going to be on Amazon Kindle. And so look for that around March 1st.
And it's
then,
called?
And it's what? Oh, it's called Keeping Up Appearances.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very excited about sharing my journey, and hopefully it'll help somebody else. Hopefully.
And your website?
www.talentlogicgroup.com.
Okay, and I'll put all that information in the show.
Yes.
And right now, it's time to hear from our wonderful partners, because you know the deal. If you don't hear from them, you don't hear from me. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help, because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Sean W. Scott has been practicing elder law and qualifying clients for Medicaid for over 30 years. While his practice is in all areas of estate planning, such as durable power of attorney, healthcare surrogates, and wills, he also prides himself on having a 100% accuracy rate on getting clients approved for Medicaid. Why Medicaid, you may ask? Do you want to pay up to $16,000 a month for a nursing home should the time come? Obviously, no one wants to have to endure this cost. So, even though you may have planned well for retirement, the reality is things happen. Planning ahead is never too soon. You need to make sure your income and assets are protected so that you can take care of you and your loved ones. Florida law is very specific on how and what is protected and how to protect it. Give Sean a call. He can help. 727-539-0181. That's 727-539-0181.
My mom was getting older, but she was able to live pretty independently until recently. When her case manager told me she would be discharged from rehab in just a few days, I didn't know what to do. But I knew for sure that she couldn't go back living alone at home. So that's when I contacted Sunway's Senior Living Concierge. My Senior Living Concierge, Lisa, was there for me through the whole process and was a free service for us to compare in-home care options and how that cost would compare to assisted living. With Lisa's help, we found a great new home for Mom, and she is thriving. Take it from me, don't go through this journey alone.
Hi, I'm Ellie Baldwin, co-founder and president of Sunway's Senior Living Concierge. We're a free placement and concierge service for families to help compare senior living communities and find the best place for you or a loved one. Call us today at 727-314-6451 or find us online at sunwaysseniorliving.com.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
And we're back. So that was fabulous talking to Kelly. But now we have a second guest on the show today, Bethany Ratcliffe. How you doing, Beth?
Hi, Linda. How are you? I'm doing well.
Joyful and grateful.
Me.
I'm so glad you're here today. We just met recently, and we had some conversations, and I thought you just would be perfect as a guest on the radio show. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started in caregiving?
Yes, thank you. Happy to be here with you all. And yes, I'm calling in from Maine. I woke up to 3 inches of fresh snow this morning. So
I know,
I'm
just talked to my sister this morning. She lives in Maine also. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, really?
Oh, here yeah. It's like 55 degrees and I'm freezing.
No, it's going to be 75 this afternoon.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I'm thinking of all you in sunny Florida. It's like, ooh, nice. But yeah, so when I was 17, I got my CNA, my Certified Nursing Assistant, certificate, and I was working in nursing homes, assisted living. I was doing a lot of relief staff all over the state. They were sending me and got a lot of experience, and I absolutely loved it. And I decided to start going to nursing school, but it was halfway through nursing school that a family member of mine ended up needing a full-time caregiver.
Wow.
And probably more than that, you know, or equal to that, an advocate and a coordinator, because it's not just.
And now how old were you then?
I was 18.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. So I decided to pivot and continue some school closer to home, and I could take care of this family member. And I just felt it in my heart that it was what I needed to do at the time, and it wasn't easy. There
no.
were challenges.
Well, especially for an 18-year-old. I mean, there's challenges for a 50-year-old being a caregiver that have had life experiences.
The one thing I had in my corner was I had all that experience just being a year as a CNA, and so I had a skill set that I think a lot of other caregivers that I meet, they're like, well, how do you get somebody dressed in bed? You can do that? Or how do you do a shower?
Right. You know how. So,
yeah, I had that skill set, so that was really...
Well, you had that skill set, but evidently you also had no judgments.
Right.
And that's a big deal, and I think that lots of times with young people, when they find, you know, whatever their passion is, they don't have judgments.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in dealing with the population you were dealing with and with your loved one, then that has to be huge.
You're right. You're right. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So we worked on it together. We figured our way through and created systems and just routines. Routine is really
yep.
huge.
Yep.
And that's what we did, and then started having some home care services come in, which were really helpful, really beneficial, but they weren't all that I expected or all that I needed.
I hear you.
From home care. So that experience there, you know, it actually, I love home care, and it led me to start my own home care agency.
I think that's huge.
Yeah, 13 years ago. I just, there's definitely a need, and you know, as much as I believe in nursing homes assisted living, they're appropriate when needed, but 9 times out of 10 people want to stay home and age in place.
Yeah and if they can find a good agency and they can find good people to work with, and if they can have a good education, that's very possible mm-hmm. that they can stay home
as long as they're safe.
Exactly. I always say there's like three S's. There's supervision, safety, and socialization.
Right.
So when I have conversations with families, they're like, is it time that we place mom? And I said, well, there's lots of factors, but let's do this really brief preliminary test together.
Yeah.
And let's answer these three questions, and then we can go deeper if we need to. So that really helps them because, you know, there's a big emotional attachment to that decision. It's huge.
You know, many of my caregivers ask me in the support groups and everything, you know, how do you know when is the time? That's the big question. When is the time? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, when they're not safe or when you're ready to jump off the bridge.
Right.
That's when hopefully we prepare for this so we don't get to that point.
Hmm.
And we can do that, and that's what I like about with your approach to this, because you're educating people at the same time.
It's a lot of education. It really truly is, and I love it though. I mean, I'm still a caregiver for my family member, and I have the home care agency, and so it's all caregiving. But I really am just fulfilled by it. I really love it.
And it's so good to hear that.
20 years in.
Yeah, 20 years in. Some people are like, three days in, I'm done.
No, it's tough.
But that's why we need people like this, and that's why we need an education. You know, like Lynn and I, as we were talking earlier on the show, is we didn't know what we knew when Lynn was going through everything with her husband. We didn't know. We didn't know how to act. We didn't know how to respond. Because if we knew that then, it probably would have been a much easier journey for both of them.
Yeah. Absolutely. And let's be like fair and honest. 10 years ago or so, I mean, at least I wasn't involved in it. There really wasn't a whole lot of social media for that end of the support. And then, especially 20 years ago, I mean, there was nobody there to help navigate any of it. And it's gotten better.
Yeah.
But there's so much education, so it's wonderful that you do all that you do, both of you here. This is great.
But you know what? 15 years ago, when I started doing this, I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I didn't know anything, but I continued to get education. And now you see, they talk about Alzheimer's and dementia on television. I was having caregiver support groups, but nobody thought they were a caregiver. So first I had to educate them on who they were before I could help them.
Right.
But now we're having that conversation more. Thank you. Thank goodness. So let's talk about the Caregiver Tribe.
Yeah. So I started the Caregiver Tribe in 2021, and it's a space that recognizes and honors all caregivers, and it's all on Facebook. I have a Facebook page and a Facebook group. It's family and professional caregivers. So everybody really kind of needs support, and some of our professional caregivers, they're doing this privately, or they're doing it without the support of just no support, and so they need this space too and recognition too.
Well, they're working 40 hours a week and then going home and still doing caregiving.
Exactly, and it's really nice having people that are working in both circles, because there is some crossover, like you just said. But there's also great education where these professional caregivers are learning what family caregivers are needing, so then they can better show up for their clients.
Yeah.
And then family caregivers are learning, like, oh, wow, that really burns my professional caregiver out that I have come in. Maybe I could make an adjustment on my end.
Right.
So that's been really beautiful there. So we go really deep into individual caregiver struggles and speak into solutions for them. I find that most of the time our solutions can really be found in one of four key areas that I like to talk a lot about in the Caregiver Tribe, and really just focus in on four key areas.
Okay, so what are those?
Okay, so what I believe, what I have found to help with caregiving longer moving that burnout line further and further away. The things that we have to work on consistently. And it doesn't have to be every day, but maybe right. at least once a week consistently, is stress management and mindset.
Yep.
Organization, because without organization, you can get exhausted quick.
Yeah.
If you're not sure how to navigate
it. It just makes everything harder.
Right. Exactly. It does. And how do you know, especially when you become a family caregiver, how do you know what you even need to do to get organized? You know, we have to talk about all of those things too. Like, right. what are the tools and resources that I need to be aware of? I need to have printed off, put in a 3-ring binder, or mm-hmm. saved on my phone. I know people can do that. You know, you can do it all on your phone. I'm not good at that. I still print everything. I put it.
Yeah, me too. I'm a paper girl too.
It's nice to hear a young person like you say that, because I have so much paper.
I just it's easier for me. Yeah. And then the third thing that I like to talk with all these our caregivers about is skill set. So, like I said in the beginning, most of our family caregivers don't have formal training. They yeah. don't have it. You know, they're not trained as a CNA or a PSS. So we talk about how to actually carry out ADLs, IADLs. And then support and connection is the fourth thing. They have to feel connected and feel that support in whatever form that is. If they want to talk on Zoom, they want to talk in Messenger, they want to talk in our Facebook group. However that is, they need to just know that.
And you know what? And that goes two ways too. It's support and connection for the caregiver, mm-hmm. and for the person they're caring for, because too many times I see today that we forget to acknowledge the caregiver, especially a professional caregiver. We think, oh, that's their job, that's mm-hmm. what they do. Mm-hmm. No, but we need to support them. You know, recently there's a community down here who. A girlfriend of mine, her dad was in a community, and they called one day in a memory community and said, he's like out of control, we don't know what to do. And so she went to see him, and she said, he's trying to start a softball game, because he was in the Super Bowl, and he was a coach and everything. But you know, when you first move into the community, or when you first get a home healthcare company, they have all those pages about what dad likes and doesn't like, or who dad is. And many times it's just the first round of people that look at it. Mm-hmm. So what she did is she created a QR code for her dad and put it on the door of his room and said, anybody that watches this about my dad, I'll buy them a cup of Starbucks coffee.
That's brilliant.
Everyone in the community watched it, and then they're like, hey, you were in the NFL. Hey, you were a coach for 25 years. Hey, you like chocolate ice cream. And then she went one step further and started interviewing the caregivers, especially the long-distance caregivers, and sent it to the families and said, this is Mary that takes care of your dad every day. And Mary has 3 kids, and she likes chocolate pudding, too. Oh, my God. Well, the morale is off the wall.
Yeah, that is gold. That
Isn't
is
that?
Gold.
I'll send you more information about it. It's just so fabulous that we can do that, because when we have Alzheimer's and dementia, many times we can't speak for ourselves. Mm-hmm. But if we can do that, and I think many times caregivers, whether they're in the home or whether they're in the community, they want to have a conversation with you, but what do I talk to you about? I don't know.
It can be very hard, yeah, to initiate that, and also just building that relationship and rapport.
Yeah, like if I know you really like dogs, well, that's mm-hmm. great.
Right. Right. And you've got to have that there, so then you can start building trust, so then you can start really helping take care of them in a way that is more received.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That is wonderful. I love that.
Yeah.
And that is something I might try to...
Yeah, we'll talk.
...try to do.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. But it's like, you know what? It's a win-win for everyone. It's
Definitely.
A win-win for everyone, because if it comes to the point one day that I'm not verbal... No, which I can't even imagine.
Oh my God. Let me know when that happens.
But if it ever comes to that point, I still want to get across, so I want someone to know who I am and what I like and what I don't like. I mean, in the video at one point, it was when he was still verbal, and she said chocolate ice cream, and he said no, and she said strawberry ice cream, and he said yes. And at the end of that, she said, if my father's really agitated, just give him a hot dog with mustard and relish, and he'll be calm. Well, isn't that a good thing to know?
Absolutely. And isn't that a better solution than, say, something else that, you know, that
right.
you give?
And how simple. Down.
Right. Right.
How simple.
Yeah. That's
I think
beautiful.
A lot of the caregiving, we just got to get back to basics.
Mm-hmm. Right, back to the person.
All right, so we're almost running out of time, so let's talk about your 21-day recharge plan for caregivers.
Yeah, so I decided to create this plan that there's some information in there about why you need to practice. It goes into that stress management bucket that uh-huh. I talked about. That first key is stress management and mindset. So working off of that, there's some information in there about caregiver stress management, and then it goes into a plan where there's actually 21 boxes
okay.
with the examples of what to do each day. And the thing is, you don't have to do them in order. You pick whatever you're feeling, because whatever you end up doing,
is something.
Whichever one you pick is something. It's something that's going to reduce your stress.
Right.
And when we reduce and we're never going to get rid of the stress as caregivers, or really in life, right? We're never going to get rid of it. So it's important that we
manage it.
Yeah. Because it got to interrupt it, dial it back a little bit. So with the 21-day recharge plan, I invite caregivers to pick one each day, an item to work on, and practice, and then at the end of the 21 days, they're welcome to repeat that again, but this gets emailed to them. They can sign up for it at my website. It's BethanyRatcliffe.com/21-day-recharge, and when they do that, and they'll get that, they'll also receive a rest and relax workbook.
Oh, that's
actually
fabulous.
With that too. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think if someone helps you make a plan, because mm-hmm. in caregiving, if you're new to it or you're just like so oblivious to everything, mm-hmm. you need someone to say this is a plan, because when you go to the doctor's office, no one's telling you
right.
we need to make a plan. And if you can do it for 21 days and do it at whatever pace, or maybe in 21 days it's going to take you 28 days to do it, well, that's
mm-hmm.
cool.
Exactly.
You know, and if you want to do it again, maybe you learn a little bit more. Because like I said earlier, it could be the worst journey of your life, or it could be close to beautiful, because there are some fabulous and tender moments and loving moments and times that we can go through in our caregiving experience.
Yeah.
You know,
times
yeah. when, you know, you didn't think would ever happen, and then they happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad we're having this conversation, and I'm so glad that we've met. And I'd like to do some more things with you in the future, because I think our caregivers really do need someone that can give them a plan. And I think there are a lot of people that talk about caregiving, but they don't give you a plan.
Yes, I'm all about the, yes, talking about it, but also what's the next step, right? How do we put this into play, into action? So, well, I'm so glad to be here with you and talk with you, and appreciate you having me and all that you are doing, and I love your Tuesday tips. I just have to say, love those.
Oh my goodness!
Perfect.
The other day, I taped a Tuesday tip, and it was about CPR. So I'm like laying on the floor in my living room, and they're flopping me over, and I'm like, what I do for my caregivers?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's awesome.
But so, thank you so much for coming here today. And where can our listeners find you?
In Maine,
bundled up. On Facebook, just Caregiver Tribe. Just type in Caregiver and Tribe,
perfect.
Two words, and that's where I'll be.
All right,
well,
and I'll put your website
so
and everything
much.
in the description of the show, so they'll have that. And let's talk soon again, my friend.
Sounds good. All right, thank you.
Have a delicious day.
You too. Bye bye.
You know, like I'm so blessed to meet new people that are doing different things. You know, that's one thing about with the internet, and people say, you know, you're not being social. I'm being very social.
You're funny.
I met this woman that lives in Maine that has so much good information to give us. I don't know how you would do that before.
You wouldn't.
So I'm very excited about that. But right now it's time to listen to hear from our wonderful partners. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week, so check them out.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
We believe the power of the human body and mind can do amazing things, and that tapping into that power, not just tricking it with a temporary disguise, is possible. Superpatch technology uses a special pattern and vibro-tactile technology to help you go from feeling blah to hurrah. Now, once the superpatch is in contact with your skin, it triggers a neutral response in the brainstem that helps you tackle your daily problems head-on. Whether you're struggling with pain, balance, stress, or focus, we have a solution that might be right for you. With Superpatch's 30-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Hi, this is Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers. I started using the Liberty Patch over 3 years ago. I used to be a tripper, but since wearing a Liberty Patch, I haven't tripped once. The Liberty Patch is proven to reduce the risk of falling by up to 8 times. And as we all know, if you prevent the fall, you prevent the call. Don't wait until it's too late. Preventative solutions are the answer.
Superpatch does not claim to diagnose, treat, or cure illness. Superpatch is FDA registered. To receive 25% off your first order, go to sticktoit.info. That's sticktoit.info and learn more.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
So we're back. She was so interesting, wasn't she?
Yes.
Was really fabulous talking to Bethany. So we have some events coming up. We have Dr. Peter Rabbins, and he is the author of The 36-Hour Day, which is like one of the Bibles for people dealing with people with Alzheimer's. And personally, I thought that was like, that book was like a little too thick and a little too dense. But he has a new book, Is It Alzheimer's 101 Answers to Your Most Pressing Questions about Memory Loss and Dementia, which is fabulous. I'm loving the book. So he is speaking at Bethel Lutheran Church on Thursday, March 14th from 10:30 to 1 with lunch provided, sponsored by Arden Courts. So if you're interested, you can RSVP to 727-771-1600 or 727-517-7800. I will definitely be there because this man is a wealth of information and would love to meet you guys if you're there too. So if you register, look for me. Also, attorney Sean Scott has 3 free seminars coming up in March. Tuesday, March 5th, 2 o'clock, Palm Harbor Library. Friday, March 8th, 2:30, Lager Library. And Monday, March 11th, 2 p.m., Seminole Library. You can just go and show up, or you can RSVP to 727-539-0181. And last but not least, Sages is out with their latest show, Phony Baloney, which is just a great educational show and can help you not to be scammed about some things that go on, because every day there is a new scam about something. Yeah, now the newest one is that I just got emailed this morning about is the Duke Energy thing again. Like, I'm going to shut off your electric in 1 hour and whatever, I need your credit card right now. But anyway, so Phony Baloney will be at the Tampa Bay Performing Arts on March 10th. St. Patrick Catholic Church in Largo on March 16th, Ruth Eckert Hall in Clearwater on March 23rd, and Pinellas Parks Performing Arts Center on March 30th. I'm so proud of them. They've come so far.
To go to Ruth Eckert, wow.
Yeah, Ruth Eckert and Tampa Bay Arts Center. That's very cool. So if you're interested in any of that, you can go to sagestheater.org. I'll put all the information in the show. Also, because all these cool things happen, and I want you guys to know about it, so probably starting the next 10 days, you'll be able to go to my website under the events calendar, and it'll have things that I'm doing, support groups, workshops, speaking engagements, conferences, and that other people are doing. Like, this information will also be on there. So if you have information, if you have a support group, a live support group, or a virtual support group, or some, especially virtual, because that covers everybody, contact me, because you can post it on my calendar. You know, I want to open up that calendar, and I want to see almost every day full with some kind of resource for caregivers, whether it's a support group, a workshop, and I think it's there. I think we're getting there. So my webmaster, Fabulous, has done a lot of work on this. It's kind of a project, because I don't want anybody to put a support group on there, and then in three months it ends and someone goes and there's no support group. So we had to figure out a whole bunch of logistics, but it's all good. So thanks so much for tuning in today. You know how much I appreciate you. You know how much I appreciate your time. See you next week. Remember, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day.